everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile, my guest in the studio today. Two really, really talented visual artists. One more than the other. No, I'm kidding, Michelle.
Well,
no, I'm kidding. But we have two really talented visual artists today. We have Michelle Fontenot, who a lot of people know for her mosaic art and her glass work. But boy, she can paint too, with the best of them.
I'm good with jokes.
And good with jokes. I always forget about that talent. And then with her, Larry Bork, who is from Arnavale, who I have said, and not just me, but many people have said, my God, Larry's got to be one of the most talented human beings I've ever met in my life. And Larry, you do everything from woodwork to, I mean, any kind of material that there is to work with out there in this world, you work with. And I remember seeing so many pieces that you created, and then all of a sudden sitting at a jam session one time at Nunu's, you drew and sketched a portrait, and I believe it was of Linda Castle, and that then was like hands down, oh my God, this man is really talented.
Thank you.
So welcome, Larry.
It doesn't stop.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. Yeah, it's really nice to have you. And the two of you are working, have worked on a project together and now have an exhibit. That is at Gallery 549 here in downtown Lafayette. That is called Transport, and that will be up through the first week of April. So let's start. I want to start with that before we get into kind of talking about the two of you as artists and some of your history, Mr. Larry. But the project that you put this together, Michelle,
yes,
called Transport, where did that whole idea come from? And what's the title refer to?
The show title, Transport, I'm not exactly sure where it came from. I'm lucky enough that Don LeBlanc, this is the third year that he's given me the reins over the gallery. In I think it happened in March last year and the year before, too. I came to him a couple of years ago, and I wanted to do a show with people that I liked. It started with glass. I did Girls Who Kick Glass. And then last year I did Rock the Flock. And
that focused on birds.
That was focused on birds. Chickens, and roosters mostly. And Transport, it seems like I started thinking about wheels and just places and how we transport our bodies, and in doing so, transport our minds. You know, there's so many connotations to the word transport. So I just started thinking about who I thought was kind of doing work that I thought they would relate to it, that they had something to put in. And I'm so glad the people that I asked to be in the show.
Yeah, you've got a great lineup. It's you, yourself, Larry Bork, Lisa DeStefano, who's out of Brobridge.
Baton Rouge.
Because I'm on to Kelly Guidry. Yeah, Lisa DeStefano, who's out of Baton Rouge, sorry. Kelly Guidry, who's out of Brobridge. Donald LeBlanc, who that is his gallery in Lafayette. Christopher Leboeuf?
He's from Lafayette.
Okay.
He's a metal smith and a sculptor and a painter. He's a little like Larry. Maybe a little younger, actually. He has more hair. He might be a little more handsome. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, he's a super cool guy. I have a piece of his work that I got probably, 15 years ago.
Ah.
It's a sculpture made completely out of wire and cigarette butts.
Oh, wow.
You've seen it. It's the banana spider.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. I'm going to back up for a second because Lisa DeStefano, she's a beautiful, beautiful painter.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a piece of work that is that the type of work she submitted, were paintings for this?
She did paintings, yes.
Okay.
Landscapes and, a landscape, a scenery, a field, a tree, so many things can transport us.
Yeah.
If you stop and think about the word and think about, art can transport you, religion, music, food, you know.
You know, it's interesting when you get into or I get into discussions with people about the importance of art in our world and in our society. One of the things you just mentioned, Michelle, is one of the things that I will always speak to. How many people use a piece of artwork at home or in their office when they need to think of, like, let's say at work, think of new ideas.
I need to get away from
I need to get
here.
Away. That's all about transport.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's a good show, and it's I feel like I could have done 10 more pieces than I did. One of the pieces I did was Free Your Mind, and it's a tall sculpture piece with a head on top. But there's no top of the head, so there's a plant coming out of it.
Oh, very cool. And the rest of it's all glass?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The other one is a rocket ship. And what else?
A boot.
Oh, yeah, I did a boot.
Like a cowboy boot kind of boot?
Yeah, people might maybe have seen some of my work already. I've done a lot of cowboy boots and mosaiced them. This one is it's like a Doc Marten, but it's rubber. Like those old girl shoes.
Yeah.
I found this one, and it was so funny. I was like, oh, my God, look at this thing. And when I bought it at this little store in Opelousas, the girl was like, yeah, these are so cool, right? Are you going to wear these? Oh, no.
There will soon be glass
they would
all
probably,
over them.
I should probably take a picture of what I did and bring it back to them and show them.
Yeah.
Because I told them what I was going to do with it, and they were looking at me like, what? What?
And let's talk about the work, the pieces that Donald did, LeBlanc.
Don did these cool, what did you call them, the boats that don't float?
Yes,
they're
I
like
think
that's, airships.
That's the title. They're called Boats That Don't Float, and they're fantastic. It's galvanized metal and copper, and they're suspended from the ceiling, and they actually appear to be floating if you
stop and
look at them for a minute. And they're really exciting.
They slightly move.
Yes.
Very slightly
They
move.
Pick up the wind, and it moves just ever so slightly. And the nicest thing about them is the galvanized steel seems to pick up the light, and it just lights up the entire corner.
Very cool.
So it's a great, great piece to have. If you have an area in your home where you feel you need more lighting, this would probably be even better.
Yeah,
it bounces
very
light.
Nice. Yeah. And then you also have George Marks, who also is a painter.
George did some cool he has two pieces, and they both have telephone lines as kind of the main focus of the paintings.
You know, boy, that certainly transports.
Information.
That's right.
That's
voices.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the last person, too, I'm not familiar with John Walker.
John is a young guy that I know from – actually, I know him from my son's friends and my friend Kaylin. He's not an artist, I guess. Maybe – he is, definitely. But I think he went to school for industrial design, and he's a skateboarder.
Yeah.
So I know that he's making art, and he does really good woodwork. So I called him, and I told him I was having this show, and – I just wanted to see what he would do.
Yeah.
He definitely delivered. He did this beautiful table with laminated and layers of skateboards. And the bottom of the table has skateboard wheels on it.
Oh, very cool.
And the other pieces are – he told me that his parents had a tree cut down in their backyard, and it turned out that like 8 feet of it was hollow. So he took – those and sliced them up and made tables with a glass top, but inside of the tree are bike gears. Yeah, everybody just really did some fantastic work.
Wait, people really focused on repurposing.
Definitely.
It's nice. Very nice.
Really cool.
So Larry, for this show, you have, I know, done a number of pieces that have been on exhibit at Nunu's in Arneville, but this is actually kind of your first, you know, time-framed exhibit show that you've been involved in. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I have to thank Michelle for that. She invited me to exhibit with them. It's the first time I've ever exhibited anywhere else, and it was fun. I enjoyed it. I think what made it more interesting was the fact that the people who were coming out wanted to have fun. I think with Mardi Gras being going off with a big thud like it did, people wanted to have fun.
And they came out for art walk.
It was a good night. It was warm, pleasant atmosphere, and people kept coming in and going out and enjoying themselves.
Just your work, though, Mr. Larry. I think people are interested when a person walks up to your work. First, they notice visually that it's good. You know, it's not some slack job. But then, when you start looking at it and you realize that it's never what you think it is, it's always made out of something else.
So let's talk about the pieces that you did, Larry, for this exhibit.
Okay. Well, I had three pieces. One is my tool chair. And
can you describe what that because there's quite something to see.
Well, I'm a retired carpenter, and I had all these.
And I do want to mention, this is a first. He's a retired carpenter, and Larry worked on the renovation here in Burke Hall,
yes,
of the theater down the hallway, yes. And also of KRVS studio here.
Yes.
So he's going to, after the show, he's going to take us and give a tour probably that a lot of people haven't been able to give before.
I don't know if I can do that, but I'll try.
You can show us where all the square corners are.
Yeah.
Or the dead bodies. No.
Yeah.
The tool chair, I titled it Yes, I Am. It's made with old tools that most carpenters use, and they're put together to form a full-size chair. And the reason I have it titled Yes, I Am is one person asked me, were you crazy for doing that? And I said, yes, I am. And it's on a hinged little saw, so I leave it turned the other way. When people ask, I just turn it back and show them. It says, yes, I am.
Yeah.
And in fact, when lady walked in, and she was kind of trailing behind other ladies, and she didn't seem to be having too much fun. She was being dragged along. So I turned and saw when she looked at me, and she started to smile. So I said, I knew I could make you smile. And she enjoyed it. I think she had fun the rest of the night. I mean,
when you do a piece like that, Larry, and when it came to mind for you, did you sketch it first, or was it something that just came together just looking and putting piece by piece?
I tend to sketch things out first, and then, of course, it never ends up exactly like the sketch. The sketch is just a springboard to start off. And then I start putting things together, and I can tell what's going to work, what won't work, and then I start putting it together. And before you know it, it's all done. One particular part of the chair was I was thinking of wrapping the seat with an extension cord, but before I did it, my wife walked out to see how I was doing, and she said, that looks like the electric chair. So I threw out the extension cord idea real quick.
Yeah.
And
not to interrupt, but uh-huh. That's part of why I like a lot of your work. It sort of has this tongue-in-cheek feel to it, like you kind of – it's like you're just standing there, even if you're not standing there, waiting for people to get the inside joke. Like you're just
That's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've got that quirky sense of humor.
Definitely.
I let people have fun with it. It's meant to be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Life is short.
I like
Come
that.
On, let's
you're,
laugh.
You're a seriously
right.
good artist without that doesn't take himself too seriously.
Oh, no.
It's always refreshing.
What are the other two pieces that you did?
The other piece was called Alouette. It's a painting, and it's from a childhood memory. And as Michelle was saying, you're transported by things in your life. Well, this was a memory of the back door of our house, and I would sit in a rocking chair, and my mother would let me rock and look outside the screen door, and I could see the cattle and the pasture land. And one point, there was a meadowlark perched on the gatepost. And a couple of weeks ago, I was at the French table that's done by Miss Mavis Frugier in Arneville, and she handed out sheets of paper for us to sing Alouette, the little French song.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed in parentheses next to it, it said lark. And all my life, I'd never realized that a lark is an alouette. So
I didn't know. Okay.
Remembering that this is a childhood song, a children's song, And my painting was a childhood memory. I decided to combine the two, Alouette.
Yeah.
And I've got a lark on the painting, so it came out pretty well. People sort of liked it.
And, you could still come and see it. It actually sold at the show, but it's still up in the show.
It'll be up through the.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, very nice. Well, if you're just joining us, my guests in the studio today are visual artists Michelle Fontenot and Larry Bork. And we're talking about a project they're involved in, an exhibit called Transport. Larry, I'm curious with you because – and I don't think I'm off in this. There's a number – I don't think people in this area really knew you as an artist or saw any artwork from you until the last, I don't know, what, 5 years or so. And in with your involvement at Nunu's, people saw you doing a lot of renovation work on that building. But then all of a sudden, wow, all these art pieces started coming together. Did you do artwork before in your life?
It was kind of sudden. It started when I was about 4 years old.
Oh, okay.
And I'm 67 now.
Yeah.
But I realized early on that I wasn't going to make a living in art around here. I'd have to be in a large city or whatever. So
you'd have to like to eat beans next, like me.
The thing working with my hands was carpentry, and my dad was a carpenter, so he taught me. And from that point, we joined a union, Carpenters Union, and we worked different jobs, different projects. I was fortunate because a lot of the jobs I worked on were designed and drawn by very good architects. We have some really fabulous architects in Lafayette.
Yeah.
They are really super, and they are artists in their own right, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people like Sidney Bourgeois or Mr. Barra, there's a bunch of them. I can't name them all. But I was fortunate to work with them, and I could see what they were trying to get with their drawings. Most of the construction workers were, okay, we're throwing this together, put it up. And I could understand where they were coming from because I was looking ahead just like they were looking ahead.
Yeah.
So that was gratifying to me to be able to work with really good people like that.
Yeah. So did you, besides the work that was created through being a carpenter, you know, in your day-to-day job, like – as a teenager, or then in your, you know, your early adult years, did you make artwork?
Oh yeah, I did. Throughout high school, I made drawings and I work on projects for the school. In fact, before I even finished high school, I joined a home study course with you're probably familiar with art instruction schools, the ones who have the little draw me character.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I enrolled with them, and I took courses with them. It was commercial art. And
you did that in high school?
Yes, before I left high school.
Do they still do that? Like, have magazines with that?
I don't know.
It was always
so
in the back
much
of a
online
magazine.
Yeah, it was.
They actually advertise on television now, every now and then.
Right, right, right.
And, yeah.
It's like the Art Institute.
They're fabulous outfit.
Yeah.
I enjoyed working with them. I'd do a drawing, send it off to them. They'd grade it and send it back to me.
And would they, like, critique it? Would they give you feedback?
Yes, they
then?
Would.
Oh,
yes.
Interesting.
And, most of the time, it was a B or A or very seldom a C.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But I've been drawing my entire life, so it was nice. But I learned so much from them and from their critiques that it was really like another education in itself.
Yeah. But did your artwork stayed within, like, your home or with your family?
Pretty
you
much.
You kind of just did it for you?
I did some pieces for friends. And,
okay.
But it was pretty much on a private type thing, nothing wholesale and selling out to the public or anything. It was just practically all his gifts. I give them away. It was not something I was doing for money.
Do you this is a whole different side. I know at Nunu's, almost every time I go, there's something else new or fixed or changed, you know, a wall, or he built the whole deck, you know, on the front, and you know, and your idea, it's not just like, oh, here's a wall, let's put this in. It always has a very cool twist, a very cool way of multitasking. At your home, do you custom build everything? Did you trick out your own pad?
I built my pad.
Yeah?
From the ground up.
Wow. I'd love to come
and
see
the
your
barn.
House.
And there are some pieces of mine inside the house as well that I built myself. It's, for the most part, I like art from other artists, though. When I see a piece that I really like, I want to have that one.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And
but it's hard, though, because you can do almost anything.
Well,
I'm not on your level.
Yes,
just
because
you got like 20 more years on me, but I'm coming.
Okay, age-wise, you're not, but no. Your talent is really
good.
Well,
I think part of why I relate to you so well is from a young age, I like to build things. I love art and I love painting and, you know, whatever it is, jewelry. I'm a very fidgety, I have to make stuff. You know, I can't just sit down and watch TV. I can't, you know, I just can't. That's what I do. But I do like building. I like tools. I like the process of sanding and cutting and measuring and all of that stuff. So that's what I'm asking my question. It seems to me that did you just get more time as you got older and you're retired? So you still have all those woodworking skills, but you have just a fine art side to you. Do you think that you just have more time to do it now? Like it was always there, but you were raising kids and working and, you know,
yeah,
life takes too much time.
You do have a little bit more time. I have a very understanding wife. She's not on my case to go cut the grass or do something.
Beautiful.
She's very,
very
talented
about
in her own right, Loretta.
She is sweetheart. I love her.
And she's your biggest cheerleader too.
True.
She
allows me
you.
To go ahead and do art when I feel like it or if I feel like it. And it's I do have more time, and I try to fill it in as much as I can. There are some things around the house that need to be done, and, of course, I'll get to them eventually.
Yeah, I will.
You know, it's interesting, Larry, because you remind me of another gentleman I know out of Opelousas, Frank Dabney, who still works as – he's a carpenter and renovates homes and does a lot of renovation of old homes. And I don't know how many – like probably in the mid-90s really started doing a lot of artwork. And the two of you are so similar in that when Frank – and Frank never put his work out there – and yet knew he had those talents from when he was a kid. And when he started putting work out, I mean, it came in the form of furniture and paintings and these really cool reproductions of any kind of architectural structure in the state of Louisiana.
Those birdhouses that he did were so cool.
And then he did these birdhouses that were, I mean, they were art pieces. And you two remind me of a lot of each other is that when all of a sudden the gates opened, you know, that artistic talent just came flooding out in so many forms. You know, that I always remember Frank, and I had a shop back then. The other artists couldn't wait to see
what he was going to do next.
What he was going to do next. Yeah.
Well, that's like
and
Mr.
That,
Larry.
And that's who – you two remind me. And it's interesting that you both are carpenters, you know.
Well, going back to the painting, Alouette, I used to sit in the rocking chair and look at the clouds rolling in from the southwest right over Lafayette and towards Orneville. And I guess – my mother didn't realize it, but she was actually nurturing my imagination. If you look at clouds, you see things. So from early on, the imagination started to take over. And as I grew older, I never lost it. I kept it alive. Even though I had to work as a carpenter, I'd get up in the morning, go to work, come back.
Sure.
I always had the dream of being an artist someday.
Interesting.
And I kept it alive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to take a short break here. And I think, Michelle, maybe we'll start out with a piece that you brought in from Boss Klaus that actually was off of their previous CD,
right.
And Silverbird, and that's a
it
bit
has to
about
do with
transport.
Definitely.
There's
Donnie,
a lot.
Donnie will tell you the story.
Is he here? Are we going to pull him out from the corner?
He's going to sing
no,
me the
I know,
story.
I'm kidding.
Have him in my pocket right here.
All right. This is
well,
a.
Nope, no, that's not Donnie. That's Gum. Wait, hold on.
And that's Donnie Peek, who she's talking about, and we're going to hear the song Silver Bird from Boss Klaus.
If she would have walked away, could have caught up to her any day and talked to her of many things. I'd sing to her of the joy she brings. Oh, please, please, and I could say, pretty baby, don't you go away. She flew off in a silver bird, didn't even get to speak a word. Now, so far away. I hate airplanes. One took my baby so far away. If the bus had been her ride, I could have gotten my car for an old night drive to the big bus stop on down the line. At least the chance would ease my mind, and then it would not feel so bad if we could speak of the dreams we had. Silver bird, it swooped so swift, I could not speak a word of this. Now I hate airplanes. One took my baby so far away. Said I hate airplanes. One took my baby so far away. Switch to turn it back again. See the big old train going down the track. I'd make the big old train carry baby back. Then please, please, and I could say, pretty baby, don't you go away. But silver bird with metal skin could not sense the shape I'm in. So far away. Said I hate airplanes. Won't took my baby so far away. So far away. Yeah.
All right, Silver Bird, and that was featuring Donnie Piku with band Bus Class. And if you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM. We're on the web at krvs.org. And I'd like to remind people, too, because Cecil brought this up one day, and it's like over something like 30, like, produced, locally produced programs that we have on the station here, which is really incredible. And we are listener supported public radio. So thanks to all of you who continue to help us do what we do here. And you can, if you haven't, just go to the website, krvs.org, and there's a donate button. You can click on that, and we appreciate any kind of support that you can help us out with. My guests in the studio today, Michelle Fontenot and Larry Bork, were discussing, they're both visual artists, and a project that they're working on called Transport, an exhibit that they have now that is at Gallery 549 here in Lafayette, and will be up through the first week of April. Michelle, I'm curious that, you know, we have Larry, you've been involved in a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And have locally, been out there showing right. your work and traveling, doing some of that too. I'm curious, getting somebody like Larry involved or the young man that you talked about, John Walker, you know, what are the thoughts that go through for you about why you want
like,
to get these
like
folks
them,
involved? Yeah.
Why not someone else?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I like quality. I'm all about the quality.
Oh, no.
Quantity. Mm. No, I obviously know a lot of artists. I'm from here. That's I've been doing for 20 years, and a lot of really good artists. And I would love for Don to let me keep doing this. It feels like I'm like a baby, you know, that I get to think of the concept and ask the people. And I'm not really a business person. I'm not a good, I guess I'm kind of a good organizer. But I just wanted to see what they would do. I like putting it on the table. Like, here's a word now, you know, because I called you guys like 6 months ago. You know, everyone had enough time to think about it and do it. And I just want to see what they would do.
And why Larry?
Because he's awesome.
Yeah, why?
You know?
No, but, you know, really, when you...
Because I
what would he bring to the show?
Just the word transport. He transports things. He uses materials to evoke images and feelings from different times. You know, what he's talking about, his piece, sitting on the front porch. And I've had enough conversations with him to know that he totally gets what I was saying and what I was asking him to do. And it was kind of fun. I also knew that he hasn't been in a show in Lafayette. So, you know, I like to be the pimp mama. I was just excited. I like people that are excited. I like people that are passionate about what they do. Before all that, I like nice people. You could be the best artist in the world, but if you're kind of a jerk, you can't be in my show.
Okay.
So that's the
first
rule.
There you go, folks. You laid it out.
Larry is, and he's kind of on the same page as like John Walker. You know, they live in different ways, different situations, but they have the same ideas, the same visions of, you know, a word. You can take a word and transport yourself to another place. And, you know, same thing with George and Kelly Guidry. I mean, you can look at Kelly's work and think, God, that was a tree a year ago. That was a tree. And now you see it and it's a beautiful, sensuous piece of wood with copper and
I don't think we mentioned, you know, because I think we talked about it in the beginning, but for people that don't know Kelly Guidry, he does his work with a chainsaw.
Right. A lot of it. And a torch. You know, he totally, it would seem that if you took a chainsaw and a blowtorch and welding tools to a piece of wood, some people might not have a pretty product at the end of
that's
that.
That's right. And his is fine.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
And it's all in those little details. And I don't know.
Do you create every day, Larry?
I try to think up something to do. Right now I'm trying to – I'm working on a project to try the next phase, another painting. And I try to do it every day.
So painting, is that – you know, I'm curious because you do – this is the thing that always I'm not sure – I don't understand it because I don't think – my brain doesn't work in the way that your brains work. But because you do everything from – I mean sculpture to, you know, your woodworking to jewelry making to paint. I mean you really do everything, and then renovation of actual rooms and buildings. Like, okay, so now painting. Do you go into where, okay, I think I'm going to focus on painting for right now? Or does that even change from day to day, what kind of material you're going to use?
It does. It changes from day to day. Some days I feel like painting. Other days I want to
start
cut up a piece of wood
tools
or something.
Yeah, me too. Definitely.
They're both related, I guess, through me. They're both related.
Well, painting, I think it takes a little more finesse. Like, you have to really be in the zone. I do. You know, I tend to paint only in the fall and in the winter for some reason. Mm. It's the time when the weather's yucky outside, so I'm inside. I can't go outside, so I can, you know, turn my brain this way. But mostly I like to work outside, and I like the processes of cutting the wood, you know, because all my mosaic work, before I do glass, I do all the wood too. So it's that whole process of cutting it, sanding it, priming it, you know, getting it ready, and then the part starts with the glass, cutting the glass.
Yeah, you're right. This has been a miserable winter for me because I couldn't get out.
Good for painting, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can paint, but like you said, I want to be outside. It's just being out with the air and the sunshine, and
that's one of the things that inspires you.
Yeah,
it just feels good.
It does.
It just feels better.
And the painting, I've always done it. It's just through carpentry and through the years of doing construction work, you get the feel for your hands of doing things, and you like the way things come out. And some of the things I do are small miniature chairs.
Yeah, where did that idea come from? If you could describe, because there's rockers and then there's kind of the old-time chairs.
That actually came about as an accident. I did a painting, a full-size painting of Van Gogh's irises. And my daughter loved it and she wanted it. Unfortunately, my wife wanted it too, so you can imagine who won. And my daughter is living in Abu Dhabi, so I said, well, I got to do something for her. And I ran across this piece of Carrara marble I had. It's just pure white marble.
Hmm.
I said, well, okay, I'm going to make her a Van Gogh that no one else has ever made. I took irises, shrunk it on a 5x7 scale, and I carved it out of marble.
What?
And then I painted it for her.
Wow.
And when I was done, I said, well, I got to have some sort of way of mounting it.
A stand, yeah.
A stand. Or
what would even made you think to get the marble?
You just had it.
It was different. It was just sitting there staring back
you
at
had
me.
It. Okay.
And I knew I wanted to do something for her special.
Yeah.
And then the chair idea, well, I was in my studio and I had a fan going, and I had been looking at Van Gogh's irises as reference in this book, and then the page just turned, and there was Van Gogh's chair. I said,
wow.
There's my easel.
Interesting.
So I started
making... See, that's the thing. That's why
that's
you're
cool.
in the show. I think that's what makes artists. It's not... I mean, you have to have skills, obviously, but it's the way your brain works, and that you're always ready. You don't know specifically what you're looking for sometimes. But when it comes, that's it. You know it.
Exactly.
And that's you right. know, hey, that's exactly what, yeah, that's it right there.
Did you start on that day? I'm curious.
Yes.
Ah.
Oh, yeah. The little yellow chair, I was looking at it and I said, how in the heck am I going to replicate this? So I started doing sketches. I made it to scale and something that would be proportionate to the painting I had done. And then I made one, and I painted it yellow, and I painted it the way Van Gogh paints, you know, very wild, abandoned colors.
The chair in the room.
No way of making it detailed. And my wife liked it, too. So I made some more chairs, and I started painting them in the same style.
Yeah.
So I titled
They're
them
fabulous.
Badly Painted Chairs. They looked badly painted, and it looked like old chairs.
Yeah, they're cool.
So it's a way of combining painting and woodworking skills into art.
And you don't do them all badly painted. I have one I bought from my dad that it looks like an old cowhide chair.
Yeah, that's a memory from the past.
Exactly.
Because my grandfather
so
had.
So did mine. So
yes.
That's what I gave my dad for Father's Day, actually.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Nice.
Very nice. You know, Larry, one of the things I think of is because you tend to really repurpose, reuse materials, you know,
oh, yeah.
whatever left over. Like, yeah. I think I will tell people, Larry has made these wonderful bracelets, and he gave me one today that was fashioned out of old aluminum that came from some old windows from a building here, you know, near this building, near Burke Hall. As a carpenter working on projects, there's a lot of wasted material, you know, left over. That had to have driven, I mean, did that drive you nuts?
Yes, absolutely.
No, I'm serious. Like, some people wouldn't think about that.
No, I know. I couldn't stand to see really perfectly good material being thrown in a dumpster.
Did you bring a bunch home?
Oh, many truckloads home.
Does Miss Loretta call you Sanford and Son?
Yeah. No, she calls me a pack rat, actually.
I get that.
Yeah.
I brought a lot of stuff home.
But some of the stuff, if you didn't have it, like the piece of marble, it was there and it, you know,
exactly.
it was ready for you to make
yes.
something else out of.
Yes.
You kind of have to have that pile of stuff there. You know, you can't wake up in the morning mm-hmm. and think, oh, I'm just going to go to Lowe's. And I mean, which sometimes mm-hmm. you do, but I think that you can be in your studio and there's a piece of something that could sit there for 2 or 3 years and you move it, you do something. And then one day, like the chair, you go, oh, that's exactly what I need.
It's the catalyst.
It
sparks the imagination. And you say, well, yeah, I can do something with that. I can make what I'm thinking of with that. And
yeah,
go
it's
from
almost
there.
Like it's already there.
It comes
you just
out,
have to do it.
It turned out to be fun.
You know, the other thing that's interesting about you, and I know it kind of sounds like a – you know, like a Larry Bork fan day here today or something. But you know, it's interesting what comes out of, you know, your brain and then through your hands, you know, the work that you create. You know, there's even like signage that you have done, and you created a sign, I think of that one that says Festif, that you did at Nunu's. I mean, I wanted to buy that as a piece of artwork, you know, and here it was signage. You know, there's it's interesting. There's something in the look that you get in no matter what it is that you do that
it's definitely you have to have an eye for it. I think we were talking about it on the way here, just having more time. I feel like, you know, I've always been an artist, but just in the last, like this year is the first year that I'm not signed up to do Festival International. I haven't signed up to do any art markets. I want to go in a different direction. I want to do larger pieces. I want to work outside. You know, I have this plan brewing in my head. But part of being able to do that is because my kids are older. You know, I was a mom and just I needed to work. I needed the money. I needed to have regular stuff. So I made smaller pieces of art that I knew I could sell them. You know, it's choices about switching it up. What was I talking about?
Larger pieces of
– No, but, you know, I mean, right now you're switching gears in terms of what you're doing business-wise.
Yeah, exactly. But Mr. Larry talking about when you ask the question, do you think about I'm going to paint today or I'm going to make wood, I'm going to do this and that. I think to be able to function, you almost have to be able to do all of it. I mean, for me, you know, it –
If that's the type of artist you are.
Right.
Where you work in many different mediums.
It's part of the control structure. You want to control it all because it is your piece of art.
Mm. Right.
You don't want to subcontract something to it to do it. You want to do it all.
Yeah, I don't have time. And I don't want to explain to someone else how I want this piece of wood cut and formed to be able to get to the next place.
Right.
Like right now.
So that's why you want to know how to use the tools and
exactly.
Do the wood yourself. Yeah, yeah.
I'm obsessed right now. I've been getting books, going online. I've done a couple of pieces of concrete sculpture. I want to do formed concrete structures and then I want to mosaic them. But I don't really do that. I don't really know how to do it. I know I can do it. So I've just been reading, looking at pictures, and it's going to be a wooden form with wire and metal and then the concrete, and then I'll go from there. But,
sure. You
know, that's how I started mosaics. That's how, like, you came in with metal work, you do wood, you do whatever. And anyone can learn how to do that, I think, but what you're talking about when you see Larry's work – or anyone that you notice and you're like, oh, you're really good. You can take a class in jewelry making. But if you don't already have this thing inside of you that knows visually what to do with space and lines and form and function, you could make 50 rings that look like, it's a ring.
No, but you know that's true because I appreciate artwork and I like to do things with my hands. So I had gotten – I mean, I love beads and sometimes I like to just
make
look
jewelry.
At them.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I will make earrings and that's the – what you just said, I have said that to people and they're like, oh, no, that's not true. But it is true. I have made probably one out of every 50 pair. Is
I'm so sure.
No. When you said that, that's a true comment. Because and I have people that will vouch for that because my brain doesn't work that way, that I will just put these things together and there's about one. Seriously, I have
that
taken.
That has the exact right look.
That's like, right. And the other ones don't. And that's just because that's not who I am.
Well, but that's why you're fabulous on the radio.
No.
I'm not
but,
so good at speaking.
No, but I'm just saying that's a true statement you made. That for
I
people
think
that
it is.
Their brains don't function in
right.
the way
that
you two, that yours does, or, you know, many talented artists
right,
out
right,
there.
Right, right, right. I think that's what it is.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
We need people who think.
That's right.
You know, analytically and structurally. Mm-hmm. And
of course.
Yeah.
To stay focused on the essentials, just like we need artists. It's just two different groups, and it works out well.
And, you know, Michelle, some of the things that you're moving into now, I mean, and this is a different time for you, you know, for going into larger pieces. And also some of the things that I know you've been doing have been more commissioned.
Right.
Work, whether that's work
right.
in people's homes. For you to do that now, you know, for a living and the commissioned work, is that more difficult for you when somebody else says, here's what I want versus you just, you know, creating the idea?
The great thing is at this point where I am, the people that have commissioned me to do things already know what I do, so they're like, oh, I like what you do. I like the colors you use. I like this. Do one for me, you know.
Oh,
and
so
some
not,
things,
okay.
I'm still. I'm not doing. Obviously, I can't just say, okay, I'm not doing any more. You know, I make Lazy Susans. I have four going on my table right now. You know, and I have to make money. I need to. So I'm still gonna do small jobs, but. In the back of my head, I've been collecting materials, collecting, gathering, making time. I want to have a chunk of time to make a larger piece. The commission job, I just did a job in Baton Rouge, was totally fun. It was so much fun. And I had to do a bunch of sketches. You know, I didn't even know the homeowners. I never even met the wife still. I met the designer, and she saw my website, called me, and we kind of went back and forth. And then it was kind of funny. I might be a little bit of a, okay, I'm going to just do it my way anyway person. Maybe a little. and in the end, she was like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure if this looks exactly like what I was thinking. But this was after I had already put, you know, 50 hours of work into it. And so, I said, you know what, let me just finish it and get the grout on it, and it's going to be good. And she loved it.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
Well, and I do think those little pieces, I mean, for artwork, you know, for people that aren't visual in the same way,
I can see things finished almost in my mind. Mm-hmm. They don't always come out exactly like what I thought they were going to be, but I know what they'll look like surface-wise or space-wise by the time they're done.
Yeah.
So
the material that you keep, Larry, you have a shed or something that you just throw everything in?
I've got a small workshop. It's got a few things in it, but mostly I usually try to keep stuff that I know will not deteriorate, like the aluminum, steel, or things like that. I keep outside in an area, a side yard. It looks like a trash pile, but it's my stuff. It's there. And
that's what, you know, Trish Ransom was on recently, and she's always said, you know, good thing she doesn't like to cook, because her whole kitchen is, I mean, piles of, you know, I mean, she recycles anything and everything, right? And it's just piles of very organized piles.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Very she you've never seen so much.
She puts like things
junk
with like things.
And by color and by the different colors of rust and by – it's nice. Very organized junk.
Mine's not organized.
No.
It's a lot of junk.
Neither
though.
Is mine.
It was funny. Last – or a couple of years ago when I worked on a piece for a festival with Megan Barra and Virgie Banks – came to my studio and we...
You guys did the piece for Festival.
The piece for Festival was a sculpture, and we each, you know, made our separate parts separately. And then they came to my house in my studio to put it together, and they walked in, they were like, oh my God. Because there's just so much stuff. And then at one point we were screwing part of it together, and we needed... what's that little round thing that goes in the bolt?
A grommet.
Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, no, you see that plate right there over there by the drill? Look in there. There's some. And they're like, how would you know that? Like, I know where,
you know where everything
pin,
is.
I know where tacks visually I know where it is. Even if I haven't, it's like over there. Yeah. I know where it is.
Right.
But to someone else that walks in, I know – the UPS guy is just like, dude, you know you could take medication for this, right? You know? He just comes in. He's bringing me more glass and more stuff. And he just looks at me like, man, really? There's a chicken over there? Like,
you know? But the chickens are inspiring for you.
Right on.
Larry, you said you're working on, you know, you've been doing another painting. Other projects that you have in the works?
Oh, I'm still – I've got a bunch of little chairs I'm trying to finish up. I've recently sent five of them to Ann Connolly's studio.
Oh, okay.
In Baton Rouge. And then it was this lady –
I mean, people are discovering you. Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh, everybody Saturday night at Art Walk was like, who's Mr. Larry? How come I didn't know him before?
Yeah.
He's a secret.
This is a nice way. This is and you're not, you know, this isn't really retirement for you. It's just on to your next chapter.
It's correct. It's not sitting on the sofa and being a couch potato. I
don't think that's
an
option for you.
No, retirement is all kinds of things. And this is yours.
You've got to make it fun.
That's right. That's right. Well, you two, I want to thank you for coming on today. Michelle Fontenot and Larry Bork, and they are part of actually a project that, that Michelle works on every year, but an exhibit. This one this year is called Transport, and it's up at Gallery 549 and will be up through the end of April. And if you want to find out more about Michelle Fontenot, you can go to her Facebook,
site. Facebook, I post a lot of pictures, yep.
And that's Michelle Fontenot Stained Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry's work you can also see at the Du Bayou Gallery at in Nunu's in Arneville. So thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. It was fun.
Yeah. This was fun. This was great.
Really fun.
We're going to go out. Larry, you brought some music in. Should we do Chuck Berry? Oh,
sure. Right. Why not?
Chuck Berry's a favorite of yours. We're going to go out with a song that many people know, and that's Johnny Be Good. Have a good week, everyone.
Right on. Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Visit the KRVS website to find programming information, national news from Public Interactive, upcoming local events, and playlists and podcasts of locally produced programs. It's all at krvs.org.
I'm Poppy Tooker, host of Louisiana Eats. Tune in Saturday afternoons at 4 p.m. for your weekly serving on KRVS 88.7 FM. Listener-supported public radio for Acadiana.
This week in This American Life, there was this weird story about a year ago. You may have seen this. A guy who was vaguely linked to the Boston Marathon bombings was shot in Florida by the FBI. He was an unarmed man, shot seven times in his own living room by federal agents. Then the FBI started doing a bunch of things that did not make the news. What really happened? Why were they even in that room with that guy? A reporter spent 5 months looking into it. What she learned this week.
Thursday night at 7 on KRVS.
Regional Public Radio for Acadiana. KRVS FM. Lafayette, Lake Charles.